Okay, well, thank you for joining us today for this episode on Rooted in Christ Through Prayer. I'm joined with Dina Shirley and Joy Carter. Thank you guys for coming on today so we can talk about prayer. So as we begin, I know some people listening were at our January or February conference, I'm sorry, and they heard a little bit about what y'all were saying from the stage, but we're just going to revamp that because it's been 5, 6 months, and it's always great to have a reminder about prayer. So would one of you like to share about how prayer became a serious part of your life?
I would be happy to do that. To be real honest, when it got serious was when my kids started middle school. Those teenage years took me to my knees. Both my kids were good kids, not saying anything there, but the whole experience of raising a pre-adult child made me realize I had no idea what I was doing. I was ill-equipped. And when they were tiny, I could put them where I wanted them to be or take them or say no or whatever. But as they get older, you can't do that. And that was really hard for me. And I can distinctly remember one particular night when I was walking home, and walking and praying is something I do a lot together. And it was just getting dark, and I was praying out loud, walking down the streets of Bemberg. They probably think I'm crazy, but I was raging with the Lord over a particular thing. And the thought of having to let go of my child to direct her own life was really tough on me. And it was a battle. It was a battle like of Jacob proportion. I mean, I wanted to wrestle. That's how hard it was. But I lost. And God won. I had to submit to his leadership, and I had to trust him with my baby. And not that I heard the Lord say it out loud, but I heard him say to my heart, and I probably told many people this. He said to me, "Joy, I love her more than you do." Mm-hmm. And how could I argue with that? That was the final answer, right? Mm-hmm. So nothing's too big,
yeah,
for our God.
Absolutely.
Or too small.
That's right. I think sometimes we only focus on the big things and we forget God's still in the mundane. And I know I can be guilty of that. So Joy, you mentioned that you will walk and pray and you'll pray out loud. Dina, is there anything you can add on how you pray? Do you have a certain way you prefer to pray, or where you like to pray?
I pray a lot during the day. I really do.
Certainly.
You know, when people ask you to pray about something or something will just come to my mind. But I have a set time in the mornings after I do the Bible reading. I pray. It depends on how long. I mean, some days are much longer than others. Sometimes I just pray through my prayer journal. Sometimes there's other things on my mind, on my heart. I have a book that I'm praying through right now, The Prodigal Prayer Guide, that I'm praying for my kids right now. So I use that as well. Yeah. So,
yeah, there really are some really good prayer resources out there. I wrote one down. It's called "I'm Praying for You" by Nancy Guthrie. And just a quick note on that, where she goes through 40 different things that you can pray for other. It's really geared for women, but you could clearly still pray these for men, but 40 specific things you can pray for women during, while they're facing, fill in the blank. It's really phenomenal. And she makes it really easy for us because she also has a QR code on every page, every section. You can scan it and it will give you a little sentence to send to someone, "Hey, I'm praying for you in this regard." And it's fully scripturally based because, wow, that's just how Nancy Guthrie is. It's not, we're addressing the emotions, we're addressing the struggle, but hey, we also want God to grow us in this. It's actually really challenging when you read through it for yourself.
Well, that's how this one is. I mean, it's scripture.
Yeah,
the one
exactly.
That it's actually praying scripture for them, which I think is a really good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Joy, would you add anything up to how you pray or where you like to pray?
Well, I have a morning practice similar to that. Usually my walk, since I don't walk and rage every day, but that is, it's usually a time when I'm alone. And I do have a morning activity time for prayer too.
I enjoy walking and praying, but
it's too hot right now.
Exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, it's just I don't, if it's over 85, it's too hot for me. It's kind of ridiculous. Sometimes women, they find it difficult to pray, whether they don't know what to say. I've heard that, and I know y'all have heard that from other women too. I just don't know what to say to God, or I just don't know where to start, or they're in a really difficult situation and they're confused. A lot of times, really, they're blaming God, even though that's hard for us to admit, or they're angry at God, so they don't want to talk to him. What parts of scripture help you to help other women, or yourself even, when you find yourself in a situation where you're going, okay, I'm overwhelmed, I know I should pray, but I don't know where to start?
Well, I wrote down Matthew 6, 9 through 13. That's the model prayer. So I think it's a great passage to guide us in what to say and how to start. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. So that's another way that we should just be praying constantly, not just one time a day. Or and then 1 John 5:14 says that we can be confident that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So I believe that we just need to be really careful that everything that we pray for, that we make sure it's, you know, according to God's will, and that, and then we're able to accept whatever that is.
Yeah, so. I agree. I know there's a song out there. I'm going to forget the lady's last name, Hillary something. Maybe one of y'all can remember her last name for me. She sings in the group Lady A. Yes. She has a song called Thy
Hillary,
Will.
Uh-huh.
Hillary something.
I can't think of
it. For those of you who don't know who we're talking about, she's in Lady A. Look her up. But that it reminds me of that because I remember when our adoption failed, listening to that song and just weeping, because it's like we are still praying for God's will to be done, even in the midst of such grief of losing a child. So that's sometimes that's all we pray. Mm-hmm. I mean, really. Joy, do you have anything you would add to that?
Only that I looked for, instead of a verse to pray, I looked for an example of somebody who was in a situation that, you know, most of us would think is probably over the top for what our normal situations are,
sure,
and how they reacted. And that's documented in 2 Corinthians 1:8-10. So it says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we've experienced in Asia. For we were utterly burdened beyond our strength, that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivers us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him, we have set our hope that he will deliver us again." I don't know about y'all. I'm sure some of you have been in peril of death. But if Paul can pray in this way in the peril of death, so can we.
Oh, yeah. So. Absolutely. It's a great example. So when we're praying and your prayers seem to go unanswered, what do you do to remind yourself to stay encouraged? Because I've heard many times, and even myself in my life, okay, Lord, I've been praying about this for fill in the blank. You know, sometimes it's a few days and we've grown impatient. Other times it's months or years. You know, I know with our adoption, it was literally years. And it's like, okay, when are you going to answer this prayer? What do you tell yourself when you feel like God's not hearing you because the prayers are unanswered?
I always have to remind myself that God's always working. Mm-hmm. Cause sometimes, I mean, there's been times just recent where I'm like, okay, I'm not hearing anything. I'm not seeing anything. Not that he owes me any of that, because he doesn't. I know God doesn't owe me anything. But there are times where I'm like, okay, I can see that things are, that he's working, that he's doing things. And then times that I feel like he's quite honestly just forgotten.
Yeah.
So I have to remind myself that he's always working. And that there's a reason that he either says no or it's delayed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to know what that is. A lot of the times he's sovereign. He sees the big picture. And all we see is right now. I think I have to remind myself that I just see right now, you know, today. And he sees the big picture. So I think that's, I just have to continue to remind myself. I also will periodically just ask God, you know, if you, again, he doesn't owe me this, but just ask him, you know, will you just show me that you're still working, that you're mm-hmm. still hearing me? And he does. It may not be that specific, but it may be something else that I've been praying about. And mm-hmm. I'm reminded that he's still there and he's still working. It's just, like I said, maybe delayed right now for whatever reason.
I know you've told me that before for myself. Just pray for God to show you and mm-hmm. remind you. And I remember actually the first time you said that to me, I was like, oh, well, that's a great idea. I mean, wow, who would have thought to think about that? So I can say that is good advice, and it's very helpful and encouraging.
Sometimes really small. Like, yeah, maybe absolutely. Just something really small, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, yeah. just for example, I mean, even yesterday I was praying, you know, for my grandson to want to come to church because a week ago he was like, I'm not going. Yeah. And so, okay. So I asked and he said, yeah, I want to go. And he participated. And I felt like that was God saying, I'm still here. I'm still listening mm-hmm. and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Unfortunately, I, you know, that's great. I look at myself first, okay, because I'm usually the one with the problem. So I really take a moment to say, okay, you haven't been answering, and I'm not hearing anything. So, am I doing something that's in the way? Am I thrusting forward my will or my desire instead of looking for yours? So I ask him, is there anything in the way that I need to fix? Am I praying with the right motives? Am I really looking for his will? Mm-hmm. And do I really believe that he's going to answer that prayer? Because a lot of times, ladies, we pray for things, but we hold back we don't hold back on our words, but we hold back in our heart.
Yeah.
And God wants us to have an abandoned trust in him. And a lot of times we don't fully abandon our hope to him.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's good.
I think that's accurate. We can let our pride or our feelings of how we want something to play out, and we just think that, which is still our pride, that this is the way it should play out,
right.
Lord. So play it out. I was just actually praying about a situation this morning. I had to say, Lord, please remove my emotions from this because it is clouding my thought process. And I know that. And and that cannot determine the decision made moving forward in this particular situation. And that is hard.
That's a really good point, Jess, because I think a lot of us let our emotions lead.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible tells us that our heart is, you know, it's sinful. And so we really have to lay it all down for the Lord. The only other thing that I thought of was you can't stop asking.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you stop asking, you break that relationship. And the Lord wants that relationship. I prayed for something. It was, it had to do with work and a particular work situation that had been really hard. And I prayed about it for over 2 years before it was actually answered.
Yeah.
You have to keep praying.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly.
I really like what you said about checking your motive, you know, when things are not, you know, going, you're not feeling like God's answering your prayers. And maybe your motive's fine, but to stop and just think about it. Yeah. Ask yourself. I really like that.
Yeah, totally. So if a woman is in the midst of real suffering, and this looks different for all of us, you know, some women that listen to this podcast, they're stuck in a really difficult marriage that's very one-sided. Some women have lost children. Some women are struggling through infertility or abortion and working through anxiety. Lots of women are struggling with depression in our day and age, regardless of age. So when you're in the midst of whatever that suffering looks like, what would you say to that woman how they should pray?
I would say any way they can.
Yeah.
Any utterance, any groaning, any tears. He hears your heart. And it's back to that relationship, just probably the most important thing. you do what you can do, regardless of the circumstances that you're in. Mm-hmm. He understands them.
Yeah.
He can take it.
Absolutely.
I believe that we should pray that during the midst of that suffering or that trial or whatever, that we'll ask God to show us what it is that he's trying to teach us, because he's always trying to teach us something.
Yeah, in
those situations. And I think that we can pray for peace and contentment during that time. Mm-hmm. Philippians 4:6-7 says we can have that peace.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think, praying, God, what are you teaching me through this?
Mm-hmm.
Because it may be until we learn that we're going to have to continue to go through that. And then, and I'm not saying that if we learn it, then it'll all be great and better, but I'm just saying sometimes he's teaching us, and I do believe that he wants us to have peace and contentment, so we can ask for that.
Yeah. So you personally, as individuals, how does prayer keep you rooted in Christ?
It keeps me rooted because I can watch him answer those prayers. I mean, when I see these specific things that I know has to be God and nothing else, I mean, that keeps me rooted in him.
Yeah.
Because I believe he's real. I believe he's there. I believe he hears me. Mm-hmm. He's answering those prayers. So that's what keeps me rooted.
I wanted to, not that I don't know the answer, but I wanted to talk about the fact that being rooted in Christ is... it's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It made me just step back and think a little bit when I heard your question. Every day we stay in touch with our loved ones, right? Mm-hmm. We have time to talk to our children or our husbands or our friends or our parents or, you know, whoever those people are that are important to us. And just imagine how your relationships with those loved ones would be if you didn't have communication.
How
long can you not talk to your husband and still have a relationship? Let's don't try that, okay? But I'm just saying that it requires communication. And that's what prayer is. You know, people try to turn it into something, mm-hmm. you know, holy, so grand and wonderful.
Right.
And it is.
Sure.
But it's also just as simple as pouring your heart out to the person mm-hmm. that you look to the person of God that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And just remember that relationship ultimately is more important than all the other relationships.
Yeah.
And that if we don't stay connected, we'll drift away.
Yeah.
You know, you've heard the analogy of the boat that pulls up next to the dock, but it doesn't anchor. Well, over time, what happens to that boat? It floats away.
Yeah.
If you're not anchored and tied up, you're going to drift.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for me, when I usually realize that I'm drifting, I'm on the other side of the lake drowning somewhere.
Yeah.
So whether you want to or not, find the time to do that reach out, even if it's just, oh my God, please help me today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please just help me through what I have to deal with today.
Yeah.
Our excuse of busyness, that's the one we all pull out of our pocket, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Honestly, did I have time to talk to my husband?
Mm-hmm.
Did I have time to reach out to my kids?
Yeah.
Did I have time to reach out to the Lord?
That's true. That's a good way to look at it.
Did I have time to watch Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's lots of things, not to be legalistic about it, but I think it's easy to forget that our Creator is the one who created our mind and knows the rest we really need mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It can only come through him. And we like to fill it with lots of other things. Do either of you have a prayer resource you'd like to share, or if you think of anything? I have a couple I'll share. And if something pops in your mind, y'all feel free to jump in. But I do want to make a note that we have a few prayer resources at our resource center. One of the things is called Five Things to Pray. This is a series. We have a couple of them out there. One is for your aging parents. One is for your kids. We also have one out there that is called For Your Heart. And it really, all of them scripturally sound, scripturally based, makes you do really what Joy was talking about earlier, where you're examining your heart. Hey, where am I missing? Where am I not seeing this correctly? And it's very easy to follow kind of gives you a little guide. Sometimes that's helpful for us. I think the best book I've read on prayer is called A Praying Life, Connecting with God in a Disconnected World by Paul Miller. It's not a short read, but it's a phenomenal read about prayer is a life changer. And I think we take it for granted sometimes. When we're only crying out to God in our difficulties. Mm-hmm. It's showing, as we should, but that's the only time we're praying. We're really just taking God for granted, and we just want what he can give us. We don't desire that relationship like y'all are talking about with him. So I think that's my encouragement, is that we do, as we've heard from Dina and Joy, pray continually, but pray no matter what. Just keep praying. Mm-hmm. So would either of you like to add anything to the Women of Grace listening? Any encouragement? Any final thoughts?
I would just say that, you know, we know we're going to pray about ourselves.
Yeah.
Pray about somebody else. Mm-hmm. Pray for somebody else. You know, we get a lot of, I get a lot of text messages and emails, and we get stuff in our community groups and whatnot. Really do that. Take one or two. Nobody says you have to take the list of 45 prayer requests and pray through every one of them.
Right.
Pick one or two. Mm-hmm. Pick the person that you don't think anybody else will pray for.
Yeah.
And pray for them. Mm-hmm. Because you praying for someone else normally changes you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the only thing I would add, that's great, is just being thankful. You know, I really didn't mention that, but, you know, that's part of prayer, is just mm-hmm. praising God for who he is and what he's done, and mm-hmm. thanking him for just the big things, the really small things. I mean, the car to drive to work, or, you know, yeah. just spending some time just thanking him for who he is and what yeah. what he's done.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
That actually is Philippians 4:6-7 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with
thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let your requests be known to God. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's a great thing. Both of those things are great to remember. Well, ladies, if you have any questions about prayer, or if we can pray for you, I promise you, Dina, Joy, myself, it's a true honor to pray for other women or other people in general, but certainly we have a special place in our heart for the Women of Grace. We would love to pray for you. And echoing what they said, be thankful. Make a list. That's one of the things Dina and I, the counselors in the room, we're always like, did you make a list? Make a list of what you're thankful for, and find one or two prayer requests exactly and pray for those people. Thanks for joining in. We look forward to next time.